Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
In our gospel reading that we've just heard, we continue along the journey of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Remember, several weeks ago, we heard in St. Luke's text that Jesus has turned his face toward Jerusalem. Since then, he and his disciples have been traveling through various towns and villages. Last week, it was an encounter with a lawyer. This week's vignette takes us into the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. In the short space of just four verses, this gospel paints a picture just as radical as the story of the Good Samaritan. Recall that in the story told to the lawyer about a man who fell into the hands of robbers, it was the Samaritan, a person from a despised people, who enacted the politics of the kingdom and showed compassion for the beat-up man. It was not the priest from Jerusalem or a Levite representing the covenant people of God, but a despised outsider who embodied the new order being ushered in by this teacher and prophet, Jesus. We have to imagine how unsettling it would have been for Jesus' fellow Jewish people to hear him saying that a despised category, Samaritans, would be capable of showing forth God's ways in the world. Those listening to the story would want to call heresy on this supposed teacher. They knew that it was their role to honor and show forth God in their life and in their city. But here is Jesus, redrawing the boundaries of God's people. The accepted borders that were clearly demarcated in their symbolic world were being challenged. God's people were to be found outside of Israel also. If the story of the Good Samaritan shifts boundaries outside of Israel, let me suggest that the narrative this morning is a tectonic shift happening within their own territory, even inside of Israel's homes. Mary and Martha live in Bethany, which is to say, close to Jerusalem. We're squarely within the boundary of Israel in this story. And boundaries worked like this in the households at this time. The public room in the house, what we'd like to think of as the living room, that was for men only. Women were able to commingle with men outside where the kids would be playing or in the master bedroom. Inside the house, especially with male company, the women would be in their quarters. This was a social custom. Hear it as a social custom. Was it abused? I'm certain it was. But this was a social custom, and in fact, this pattern is actually carried out in many parts of the world today. Perhaps you've seen this in your travels. So the purpose that of spelling this out is so that we can properly perceive that Mary's decision to stay in the public room in the house with this traveling rabbi and his male disciples, this was nothing short of socially scandalous. She was crossing over a boundary that would drastically rearrange the mental and political furniture of the time. So the real problem between Martha and Mary is not that Martha has so much work to do and her sister is not helping. We've heard that. It's true enough. The real problem is that she, Mary, is sitting at the feet of the teacher. And when you hear sitting at the feet, don't think of that literally. The phrase in this era was to suggest that you were studying under somebody. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I like to think that I sat at the feet of Luke Timothy Johnson at Emory to learn about the New Testament. So Mary What's really upsetting, Martha, is she's sitting at the feet of a male rabbi. She's acting like a man. Once again, the teaching and person and presence of Jesus is rearranging boundaries and shifting the furniture of our world, even our own households, even our own churches. For Mary to be listening attentively to the teacher suggests that she wants to learn so that she too can teach and preach the message of the kingdom of God. She senses that this kingdom is pressing in through the ministry and person of God's anointed prophet, Jesus. Because of him, the boundaries have to be reworked. The different thing about this prophet and teacher is that it's not just the message or the teaching. In other words, Jesus is not just a mouthpiece for God's message. Instead, in this prophet, we see, in St. Paul's language, the image of the invisible God, through whom all things have been created. The Creator God, the God who freed Israel from slavery in Egypt, the God of the covenant with Israel, the living and true God, is the God who is active in Jesus. Bump into him, and you've bumped into God. This is what Mary wanted to know. This is what Mary wanted to learn and to announce. The kingdom of God has drawn very near, even into her living room. So she must pay attention to the one thing that can never be taken away from her: the living God. What kind of boundaries do we need to redraw in the church and in our lives so that we might discover with Mary that our most important task is to have our minds renewed by the prophet Jesus? What would it look like in your very own life to say, I understand that my most important calling as a baptized Christian is to sit at the feet of Christ and to learn his ways and his truth. How might your priorities and the habits of your life shift with this realization? What is necessitated for you to take time for prayer, for communion with Christ every day? What would it mean to commit to worship as foundational to your identity and practice? And from this place of communion through worship and prayer, what would it mean for you to yearn for deeper intimacy through study and spiritual reading? To learn mathematics takes hard work, does it not? To learn to paint can take years. To learn to properly construct an essay or a short story takes skill, precision, and imagination. To learn to be a Christian takes a patient lifetime, even more than a lifetime. And it necessitates the renewal of our minds, the shifting of our affections, the reordering of our wills. We have to rearrange the furniture of our worldviews if we are to be obedient to Christ's way of peace. Friends, let us learn with Mary that the one thing necessary, the one thing that cannot be taken away, is the everlasting kingdom of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The boundaries have shifted. Those who are outsiders have turned up to be our neighbors in the new architecture of community called church. Those who, with Mary, might have thought they had no role to play in announcing and enacting the kingdom now sit at the feet of the world's true emperor. We sit in the inner sanctum of the palace as beloved family of this king. As the people of God, your role, your calling, as baptized Christians, is to study under Jesus in the company of the church, to have your minds renewed, your desires shifted, your heart expanded, and to offer up your labor and your whole life, which is particular to you, to the glory of God. This is your priesthood. You are the holy temple of God. Your mission, nothing less than reconciling all things, all places, all people to the living God. The boundaries have shifted. The kingdom has been launched. This is the one thing to remember and put into practice. Let it affect your living room and everywhere else. Mary, pray for us that we might share in your boldness and risk rearranging the boundaries that need to be shifted so that we too might discover the one thing necessary. Amen.